invite Peter Martin to come and join us up at the front. Peter, we invited. Peter, as you know, is the economic editor of The Age and a contributor to the Sydney Morning Herald. He's a former Treasury official with an honour degree in economics. And, you know, we know him well from his writing. Welcome, Peter, to the front. From his writing on economics, but, you know, from time to time he looks at that health issue and has provided some really interesting insights from his perspective on that issue of the health system and its sustainability, and we were attracted to that with Peter and thought we must get him up here to be part of this two-day session. So, welcome to you, Peter, and we look forward to hearing on it. It's unsustainable, is it a question of life?
Just turned on my mobile phone then to record this because I always speak better than I write, given that I'm employed to write. Never mind. Many of you here have mobile phones. I know this because you have to turn them down or turn them off at the beginning. And I'm horrified. The rate at which spending on mobile phones is increasing. I looked it up before I came here. I went to the Household Expenditure Survey. He didn't even classify it a few surveys ago. Unmanageable. Spiralling. Future costs are staggering. An unsustainable path. No, those are quotes from Peter Dutton, actually. In February, he was addressing CEDA. He was talking about health spending. Now, what's the difference? Because we don't talk that way about mobile phones. One of the differences is that we're getting something we want from mobile phones. I mean, we're spending more, but what about the convenience? Who's not going to want to do that? Another point is that even if we weren't getting something more, the point is that we want to do it. Now, it might be that me upgrading to yet another phone is completely silly. It doesn't really matter. It's my money and I want to do it. Health spending is sustainable precisely for the reason that we want to sustain it. And I'll show you some graphs in a minute about what we think about health spending. The reason I think that we want to sustain it is there's sort of a hierarchy of needs. If you're very poor, what are your basic needs? Are food and shelter, right? As you get wealthier, they're fulfilled. You've got them. You start wanting other things. Eventually, you start wanting positional goods like, you know, houses by the harbour. Believe me, they weren't interested in that in the early days of settlement. The harbour probably wasn't particularly attractive to them then. So the hierarchy, what economists talk about the hierarchy, there are inferior goods, normal goods, and superior goods. And we hardly have any inferior goods left in Australia, but the Bureau of Statistics has found two. An inferior good is something, the classic one is in Ireland, actually. A long time ago, Ireland was very poor, and it got richer. Now, you'd think that when people got richer, they would spend more on everything, but they discovered the Irish people spent less. Not as a proportion of their income only, but less absolutely on potatoes. They just did. They'd grown out of them. The only inferior goods the Bureau of Statistics can find left here, which haven't been completely wiped out, are powdered milk. Apparently, as your income goes up, not only do you buy less powdered milk as a proportion of your income, you buy less of it. And TV rental, apparently, we've moved beyond that. So normal goods are those that behave normally. Food is more or less one of those. The more you earn, the more you want. Not so much quantity of food, but the more you'll pay for it. Superior goods. I mentioned housing by the sea. Positional goods. The key ones are, and this is where all of the growth in spending is, and this is what is private spending, and this is what is messing up the GST because it exempts them. Education and health. The big changes that we've seen, you know, in the last 15 years are that people are moving their children to private schools. Why? Not because this cause is better necessarily, but because they want to, and they have the money, and they're wealthy, and they can afford it. But there's a difference between health and education. Education can be provided privately. If the government has its way, universities will be increasingly private as well as schools. No real problem there. Health is different. Kerry Packer nearly died. First time he nearly died was playing polo in southwest Sydney. An ambulance took him straight to the Liverpool Hospital. There was no way that, however wealthy he was, he could have had that provision unless it was provided through taxpayers, unless it was provided through government funds. That's how health is different. Now, everything I've said about, you know, the analogy between mobile phones or the internet or anything at which spending is spiralling upwards and health, it's, in both cases, spiralling up because we want it. Everything I've said about the analogy is true. But the difference is that in the case of health, it's the society as a whole which is becoming richer and demands that more money is spent on health. And, you know, if you doubt it, just look at, you know, what governments are in power now at the state level. They're governments on the whole, which have a few years ago they were Labor governments, now many of them are coalition governments, but they've done it by campaigning on spending on health. Right? So at the society level, we are wealthier. We want to spend more money on health. Are we getting value for money? Well, we're getting a lot more output than we were. MRIs can fix things up and it'll discover things in a way that they couldn't. Life expectancy is increasing and so on. I suppose disability insurance is the other thing that can really only be provided by the government because it could happen to any of us. In the same way as we could have a heart attack, we could be made disabled straight away. Why do I know what people think? The Australian National University has this wonderful survey it does before every election, and there are elections every 3 years. I'm going to graph the results of that survey. So here we go. Let's see. The question is, I'll go back to the 1998 election, going forward to last year's election. Which of these issues have been the most important to you and your family? Let's look at what people said about tax. Now, way back then, 23% of people said they wanted to pay those tax. That was what was important to them. That was what that meant. They were concerned about health. They're a lot richer now. Let's see what's happened to health. Let's see what happens to views about wanting to pay less tax. 10%, 11% people want to pay less tax. It's a massive change, but it is the kind of change you would expect if health, which a large function of it has to be provided at a society-wide level, it's what you would expect if health mattered more over time. And my view is that the reason it matters more is that we're solving our primary needs. Health is a superior good. Now, Joe Hockey has gone further than Peter Dutton. He said that, quote, we're going to run out of money to pay for it. Now, this is an issue, you know, which needs to be considered quite separately to the issue of, hey, are we right to want it and should we fulfill our needs? What if we can't? You know, Hockey might have a point. Herbert Stein was a wonderful US economist. He was an advisor to President Nixon. And he actually, in later life, he wrote an advice column, romantic advice column for Slate magazine. So he's a bit of a broad thinker. He had this wonderful saying, which I imagine, or law, it's called Stein's Law, which I imagine he came up with in the Nixon era when being told or asked what to do about something, which is, if something cannot go on forever, it will stop, which is a useful warning for anyone making extrapolations. So, the mobile phone spending is spiraling up. His point is, don't worry about it. Health spending is spiraling up. His point is, well, don't worry about it. But if you look at the increases, I'm going here to Dutton's speech in February, which is somewhat dishonestly presented figures, because, you know, facts matter as well as the sort of arguments I've been making. He said spending on the PBS had jumped 90% in 10 years. The Australian economy grew 86% in 10 years, a point he left out of his speech, which isn't surprising what you expect of the economy growing at around 3% a year. He said the cost of public hospitals have grown 83%, slightly less than the economy grew. The cost of Medicare has grown more than the size of the economy. It's grown 124%. It's certainly a cost that people are prepared to pay. Probably what in fact influenced that graph was that they were asked for health and Medicare. Medicare seems to be popular. Now, simple extrapolation of what's going to happen to wealth, to the size of the economy in the next few years, it's not very hard to do. Treasuries have the same go. I did it this morning, came up with the same sort of figures. 2050, middle of the century, what is it, how many years, 36 years from now, plugging in reasonable assumptions, GDP growth of 3%, population growth of 2%, I get wealth per head, not wealth per head, income per head, doubling by the middle of the century. Now, are people whose income has doubled by the middle of the century and are frankly looking for things to spend their money on, are they going to object to paying 2 percentage points, maybe 5 percentage points, maybe 3 percentage points more of their tax for health spending? They are not, I think. So, yeah, okay, look, the government's got budget problems at the moment. There's no doubt about that. But these are problems essentially brought about by its desire not to increase tax. We're collecting a lot less tax as a proportion of the economy than we were 5 years ago. Its desire not to to limit tax, it wants a ceiling on it. That's not what the majority of people want. And over time, especially as the mature aged among us, and by that I mean people who used to be mature aged, you know, people over 65, as soon there will be one quarter of voters, beyond that there will be one third of voters, that is not something that they will want. When you get older and when you get richer, extending your longevity and your quality of life matters more to you than anything else. And the means you have of achieving that is using the political system. So healthcare, I don't think the facts show that our spending on it is unsustainable. Certainly it's low by low compared to outcomes by the standards of the countries we like to compare ourselves to normally. I don't think that we have a factual problem, you know, if you look at the numbers. But beyond that, almost that won't matter, because health will matter to us more than anything else, and it will be a foolhardy government, as we see at the state level, which doesn't pay attention to that. I think the mistake that Dutton, Hockey and all make is to just look at one side of the equation. They say, well, the spending's going up. Well, yeah, but, you know, we're getting something for it. And that's the end of my talk. I can answer a few questions.